Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our midweek meditation. We are currently looking at a few ethical matters that society continues to deal with and what the Bible has to say about these issues. Today is part one about the subject of euthanasia. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the creator and giver of life to all things. Would you help us to wrestle with these matters under the leading of your Holy Spirit, so that we can speak with as much biblical certainty as possible to our peers, our children, as well as our grandchildren. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This series is based on a book by Michael Cassidy titled What on Earth Are You Thinking, For Heaven's Sake?, in which he discusses various tough ethical issues that society is faced with and what the Church's response ought to look like. While these topics are quite complex, we will nonetheless attempt to find basic guiding principles in Scripture. This means that each session in this series will be fairly brief. To begin with, if we were to ask people what they understood by the term euthanasia, or how they would define it, we might hear ideas such as mercy killing, physician-assisted suicide, assisted suicide, or the act of killing someone painlessly, especially those suffering from an incurable disease. The dictionary definition of euthanasia is the act or practice of ending the life of an individual suffering from a terminal illness or an incurable condition, as by lethal injection or the suspension of extraordinary medical treatment. The word euthanasia comes from the Greek, meaning a good death, which is kind of ironic. In modern terminology, a distinction is made between assisted suicide and euthanasia. Both fall under the term assisted dying. From a technical point of view, then, euthanasia is when the attending medical or nurse practitioner takes an action with the singular intention of causing a patient's death. Generally, this is in the form of a lethal injection. Assisted suicide is when a suicide is intentionally aided by the attending medical or nurse practitioner and the person self-administers the medication. That is, the medical practitioner will prescribe a lethal drug which the patient will usually take orally. However, it is important to note that both practices are distinct from the withdrawal or withholding of life-sustaining treatment in accord with accepted ethical and medical standards, which is a different issue. As of 2023, euthanasia is legal in Belgium, Canada, Colombia, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Portugal, which is awaiting regulation, Spain, and Australia. Assisted suicide, also known as physician-assisted suicide, is legal in some countries under certain circumstances, including Austria, Belgium, Canada, Germany, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Portugal, Spain, Switzerland, parts of the United States, and finally, Australia. For the purposes of our discussion, we will use the term euthanasia as referring to assisted dying, the blanket term referred to earlier, since both involve an individual's life being terminated before its time, at the wish of that individual, for whatever reason, and regardless of how their death is caused. So, euthanasia is a topic that is slowly becoming a very real thing in our world, but has until now been overshadowed by the dominant issue of abortion. Cassidy quotes Koop and Schaefer, who are both against euthanasia, where they ask, rather cynically, since life is being destroyed before birth, why not tamper with it on the other end, presumably with the aging or terminally ill patient? So let's look at some underlying problems. Michael Cassidy says that the key issue here is the loss of a Judeo-Christian ethical view on life, which undergirds our society, or which should undergird our society, which affects all ethical issues, including those around human sexuality, abortion, and obviously euthanasia. We are living, says Cassidy, in a unique cultural moment in the Western world. By this he means that unlike other major cultures in the world that have strong religious views driving their societies, the West has become so liberal or secular so that now a postmodern mindset seems to set the ethical agenda. A postmodernist approach to life is one which, broadly speaking, holds that there are no absolutes of any kind and that there are no universal truths nor universal principles directing that which is good. Secondly, it rejects traditional authorities such as scripture and societal norms. Instead, they place faith in science and measurable data as the primary evidence. And finally, it makes truth a personal matter, denying the concept of absolute truths. This kind of thinking is especially problematic when people speak of my truth and your truth, as though it is a personal collection of truths that each one has accumulated over a period of time and must be true to in order to be authentic. This kind of thinking also does not subscribe to the Bible as the source of truth, possibly only a source of truth. And if we understand this, then it is easy to understand how people will reject the biblical view of the value of life. Things are then subject to a purely pragmatic or practical approach to life, meaning they do what is the most obvious practical thing that suits the majority. There are fewer and fewer issues that are carried by religiously driven ethical views. That said, let's talk about what is understood when we speak of a person being alive, or when we say that a person is no longer alive. Now, this question is quite important, especially in view of huge advances in modern science that enables a body to be kept alive even when the brain is dead. Cassidy quotes missionary Dr. Gerrit ter Haar, who said, "One cannot speak of life anymore in such cases. Physiological brain death is irreversible, and a person with a flat EEG, that is, an electroencephalogram, is no longer alive. The key factor here is that if it is scientifically and medically established that brain death is irreversible and that breathing and heartbeat can only be maintained artificially, then lifting life support systems on the living dead should not be considered as euthanasia proper. And this is one consideration where, says Cassidy, we are in the hands of the doctors who are able to speak with authority and assurance as to the condition of the patient. But what of the doctor's obligations when the patient is either living with a terminal illness, meaning they will eventually die, that is extremely painful, or where the patient is in such pain that they request to be released from their torment? So this leads to people speaking of the problem of the prolongation of life versus the prolongation of the act or process of dying. And at this point, we will come to a close with part one and bring to mind three passages of scripture to hold our thoughts together. The first is from Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and I'm reading from the Message here, where God formed man out of dirt from the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. The man came alive, a living soul. The second is from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 6, where we read, God brings death and God brings life, brings down to the grave and raises up. In these two passages, we are reminded that God is the author and giver of life, as well as the one who has the right to end lives. This is reflected in the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, verse 20, where Jesus, in his parable about a rich man who thought to improve his current situation, was told by God, "You fool, this night your soul is required of you." With these few thoughts in mind, I do hope that you will join me next week when we conclude our brief discussion on the matter of euthanasia. Again, we will be considering a number of scripture passages that help us to establish a biblical perspective on what is a real human issue. And so let us pray. Gracious, loving God, Help us, we pray, in a world that continues to believe that humanity is the source of truth, that life can only be understood in terms of the greater good, and pragmatism is the order of the day, to stand on your words of life in the face of these things, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And God bless you.